The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took over throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right. The prodigal son story, right? So today's parable is probably familiar to many and is commonly called the parable of the prodigal son. But what other titles might we give this story? This was a question that was asked by a group of theologians in a podcast that I was listening to and preparing for today. So again, that question was, what other titles might we give this story? Why would we choose those titles? Interestingly, in the ELCA materials for today, the title this parable has is "The Prodigal Father and the Repentant Son." Other titles I've heard include "The Forgiving Father," "The Lovesick Father," "The Lost Son," "Time to Have a Party." All of those titles suggest characters or actions that we might focus on, all of which are a little different than what came to my mind. The title that I thought of for this parable is, "That's Not Fair." Nevertheless, let's share in the joy. So let's look a little bit at what doesn't seem fair in this story. And so for some cultural context, asking for your inheritance before your father died was very disrespectful. Right? Scholars suggest that it was like wishing that person dead. And this is still the case in some cultures. I read a contemporary story of a man in the Middle East who had given his son his inheritance early at the son's request. He died 3 months later. The man's heart seemed to break at the thought that his son was basically telling him to drop dead. His widow said, "My husband died the night our son left home." So now returning to the parable, even more shocking than granting the son's wish, the father has a response when the son comes back that we would not expect. So we have this shocking behavior by the son requesting his inheritance, and then the shocking behavior by the father giving in to that request. And when the younger son returns, he runs out to meet him when he's still far off. So imagine it, a grown man, a man with enough means to be a landowner, is lifting his garment up high enough to run and not trip, while also reaching his arms out to embrace his son. That would not be very dignified. In addition to that, he gives the son a robe, a ring, and sandals, then throws a huge party for him. To those listening to Jesus, this would have been completely outrageous behavior. But then, once the celebration begins, we hear from the older brother. The brother who wasn't even called in to the party. He stumbled upon it as he was coming in from the fields from his day's work. The brother who maintained the farm, did all his father asked, and lived in the way that was respectable. That brother was not given a party and wasn't even invited to this one until after the fact. The older son's response in a nutshell is, "That's not fair." And when we look a little closer at that older son, there is a little more than meets, there's a little more that meets the eye. The deep resentment is obvious. He doesn't even call his brother, brother. He says to his father, "That son of yours." He feels that he has been taken for granted. He's not been given this kind of extravagance as a reward for his trustworthiness. He hasn't even been allowed a goat, let alone a fatted calf. The son feels that his father has played favorites, has shown favor on the one who has not earned favor, and even more, on the one who has acted dishonorably. That not only goes against the family honor and loyalty in Jesus' time, but it may rankle us in our time. This parable is upsetting because the treatment between the brothers does not really seem fair. Certainly not fair in how we would define fair. But that said, let's look at the father a little bit in his response to the older son. He confirms that that son has a place, that the older son is important in the family. The father calls him son. He reminds him that everything he has, the son also has. And the father pleads with the older son to come into the party so that they may share the joy together as a family. The father even refers to the younger son as this brother of yours. Right? This son of yours versus this brother of yours. Regardless of whether or not things seem right or fair, The father is reminding the older son that they are still family. They still belong together, and there is enough to go around. A few verses started today's lesson so that we might orient ourselves as to why Jesus would even tell this parable. The Pharisees and scribes are grumbling. They are upset because Jesus is not shunning those who they think he should be shunning. He's not shunning those based on the rules of polite society. The Pharisees and scribes were respectable and righteous. Tax collectors and social outcasts were not considered righteous or respectable. Even worse, Jesus is actually eating with them, a socially intimate act that breaks all the laws around ritual purity. It was scandalous. In the same way that it was scandalous to kill the fatted calf and throw a party for a son who has dishonored the family. Jesus did not become human, though, and walk this earth to tell the righteous to keep up the good work. He came to proclaim God's abundant love and grace even to those whom this world would not consider worthy. It is not our job to decide who is worthy or who isn't. Rather, we are invited to join in the feast of joy and celebrate God's abundant grace and love for everyone. During Lent, we have spent time reflecting a little more on the death of Jesus than we might otherwise do. And in this reflection, we remember that Jesus died for all. As Paul wrote in the second letter to the Corinthians, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." And a few verses later, we are commanded to be ambassadors for Christ, to go out into the world sharing the message that in Christ, God has reconciled the world. In Christ, God has made everyone right. Regardless of our human judgment, in Jesus' eyes, everyone is worth dying on the cross for. But being ambassadors for Christ means that we need to recognize when we are acting a little more like the older son than any other character in that story. And I don't say this with the intention of shaming or embarrassing or blaming, but as a reminder to all of us to acknowledge that we are human. We live in a culture where certain things are considered fair and others aren't. And as children of God, we need to recognize that for what it is and look beyond it. Being resentful like the older brother is not going to lessen God's love for us. But being generous like the father is one way to participate in joy now. So rather than standing outside the party and celebration, let's go. And let's celebrate in joy. I know that there is much happening in this world and in our lives right now, which may make it difficult to even want to think about joy. It may not seem like the right time. It might seem like having joy does not belong with pain or sadness or even anxiety in all that's happening. But isn't it in these times that we most need to depend on God's grace and to remember that no matter what, the love of God is a reason to have joy. Not a joy that blinds us to the harsh realities of this world, but a joy that sustains our hope despite these realities. So, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we acknowledge that there are many situations that deserve the response, "That's not fair." But nevertheless, let us share in God's holy joy. Amen.